The children of a Baptist minister next week will donate a small jewel-like piece of stained glass caught in twisted metal to the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. It will be part of the collection when the new museum opens.
The glass was blown from the window of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham when it was bombed 50 years ago. Norman Jim Jimerson found it as he was combing through the rubble after the bombing.
Reverend Jimerson was among the white people in Birmingham involved in civil rights. Today, Congress will bestow its highest civilian honor on the four black girls killed in that bombing.
The posthumous congressional gold medals go to Addie Mae Collins, Denise McNair, Carol Robertson, and Cynthia Wesley. The recognition was long in coming, as was justice. NPR's Debbie Elliott looks back on the investigation that finally put three Klansmen in jail.
The plot to bomb 16th Street Baptist Church can be traced to a once remote spot along Alabama's scenic Cahaba River.
Let's just go right through here.
Former U.S. Attorney Doug Jones leads me down a muddy bank in the now bustling outskirts of Birmingham.
Well, here we are.
We've climbed down to a deserted, gravelly spot under the Cahaba River Bridge, where suburban traffic rumbles overhead.
But in the day, it was apparently a hot spot for some of the more violent members of the Klan to sit down here and talk and do their dirty work.
Jones was the federal prosecutor who tried and convicted Klansmen Thomas Blanton and Bobby Frank Cherry in 2001 and 2002 for the murder of the four black girls killed in one of the most notorious racially motivated crimes in U.S. history. Blanton and Cherry were part of a small group of disgruntled white supremacists who didn't think the Klan was doing enough to stop the rising tide of the civil rights movement in 1963.
They just were the self-proclaimed Cahaba River Bridge Boys. It was almost like they were trying to be the outlaws of the Old West.
Jones says they knew the FBI had infiltrated their Klan clavern,
which met at the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge. And they would gather up to plan the real violence. So they brought the guys down here that they could trust, that when they would talk, that they knew that whoever was down here was not going to be running to the FBI.
Jones says the Cahaba River Bridge Boys were busy in the week leading up to September 15, 1963. On that morning, Youth Sunday, dynamite exploded at 16th Street Baptist Church, killing Addie Mae Collins, Denise McNair, Carol Robertson, and Cynthia Wesley. The church was a target because of its role in Birmingham's civil rights movement. But in 1963, no one was arrested for the crime. The first prosecution would come more than a decade later.
My name is Bill Baxley. I'm a lawyer in Birmingham, Alabama, and back in the 70s, I was Attorney General of Alabama.
When Baxley took office, he called for all the state and local church bombing files, but found little there.
A good bit of time was spent trying to prove that the blacks had bombed themselves under some crazy theory that they wanted to get sympathy for their cause.
Not surprising, given the high number of Klan sympathizers among local law enforcement at the time. So Baxley turned to the FBI and hit a wall.
Deep South public office holders up at that time had not been people that you would cooperate with on civil rights cases.
It would take J. Edgar Hoover's death and media pressure for Baxley to finally gain limited access to the FBI's church bombing files. Clues pointed to a prime suspect, Robert Chambliss.
His nickname was Dynamite Bob, and he was very proud of that. He wore it like a badge of honor.
Baxley assigned investigator Bob Eddy to dig through the cryptic FBI files. A major opening came when Eddy discovered a key witness, Chambliss's niece.
And that broke it open. They had a file on her that just had a little stuff in there, some stuff we could use in a trial. Like, Chambliss come home, he said, you know, we didn't mean anybody to get killed.
The niece's testimony helped convict Chambliss in 1977, but for about the next 20 years, the Birmingham church bombing case was dormant.
Even to this day, people's perception is that law enforcement never gave it much of a shot.
T.K. Thorne is a former Birmingham police officer who has a new book on the bombing investigations called Last Chance for Justice. She says the case was reopened in the 90s when then-FBI Special Agent in Charge Rob Langford had a meeting with local ministers trying to improve the agency's race relations.
They were very distrustful, and one of them spoke up and said, well, the FBI never did anything with the church bombing.
He was surprised and reopened the investigation. By then, only two suspects were still living, Bobby Frank Cherry and Thomas Blanton. More than 100 witnesses were dead. Birmingham Police Sergeant Bill Heron was assigned to work with the FBI.
And I'm thinking, boy, this is going to be an uphill battle.
But the last chance to build a case. The investigators traveled to Texas to interview Bobby Frank Cherry. A break came when Cherry held a news conference to complain. Soon after, Heron says, the detective's phone started ringing with people who had heard the brash Cherry boast about the bombing.
That was his downfall. He was a bragger. He liked to talk.
Tommy Blanton, on the other hand, kept quiet in public. It was his private conversations with his wife, Jean, back in the 1960s, that ultimately convicted him.
Well, you never bothered to tell me what you went through before, Tommy.
The FBI planted a microphone in the Blanton's kitchen wall after the bombing. For a time, no one could find the recordings until an FBI agent discovered them in a discarded cardboard box. The so-called kitchen sink tapes are scratchy and hard to follow without a transcript. Heron translates.
The meeting where we planned the bomb. Tommy, what meeting are you talking about now? We had a meeting to make a bomb. That's what actually convicted him is his own voice, his own words.
A conviction some officials say would never have happened 50 years ago when Birmingham juries were made of all white men. Heron says even if the convictions came 40 years late, at least they came.
Justice delayed is not justice denied.
Robert Dynamite Bob Chambliss and Bobby Frank Cherry both died serving out their life prison terms for the Birmingham church bombing. Thomas Blanton remains in jail. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.